Chapter 48. The locks to Dr. Roman's lab were good, but not impenetrable. And according to the screen showing the view from the surveillance cams, Rupak soldiers in all black were stacked just outside the door, affixing explosives. Oh dear. Roman had held on to the pistol he'd been given. No one had ever asked him for it when he returned from his first visit to the Osei camp, and he'd felt no compulsion to turn it back in voluntarily. Everyone else at Camp Ohio was armed. Why not him? That decision now appeared to be a wise one. But a single pistol would be no match against a team of rifle-wielding operators. Roman knew enough of their tactics to understand that once the door blew, they'd toss in flashbangs, stunning him, and from that point it would be a matter of seconds before he was shot down. His best defense, his only defense, was to get out of here before they got in. Moving as swiftly as he was able despite his limp, he moved to the rear of the building. By his own design, the rear door blended in. The cameras showed no Rupak operators stationed here. He transmitted to Reach. They're about to blow their way in. I'm going to try and sneak my way to the cryo lab. Be careful, Reach answered. We're moving in your direction. However long that might take, Roman was sure it would be longer than he had. He opened the rear door, poked his head out, and carefully slipped through. The sounds of the battle were so much louder out here. Camp Ohio was awash with gunfire and explosions. Smoke and other stenches of battle filled his nostrils. He fought the urge to cough as he shuffled along the back of the building. The larger cryo lab was the next building over. Roman heard the boom as the door to his lab was blown. The time available to him was slipping away. Pistol drawn and at the ready, he hustled across the space between the buildings. In order to get into the cryo lab, he'd have to step out onto the street in view of his own lab's front door, where the Rupak soldiers had been stacked seconds ago. He just had to hope all of them would go inside and search for him there. Unfortunately, that was not the case. One Rupak operator remained at the blown door, standing guard. Stop! The operator shouted in accented English. Roman quickly engaged with his pistol, and the enhanced training he'd given himself enabled him to send two rounds into the operator's face. Though his mind screamed at him to move, Roman felt paralyzed. He'd never killed a man before. Not directly, at any rate. Certainly his creations had done their fair share, but this was very different. Finally, his muscles caught up with his mind. He turned and ran for the cryo lab. He heard more shouts to halt as the operators inside his lab came back out. As Roman accessed the security panel to let himself in, he shot an anxious glance over at the soldiers. Their rifles were shouldered, but they held their fire. They want me alive. The thought came with a realization. Everything happening around him, the suffering and the carnage, was because of him. Because of what he'd achieved in creating Alexa. These men weren't here because of some war that had ended centuries ago. They were here because they wanted an Alexa of their own. And if that wasn't possible, they wanted the man who could build them one. Roman would sooner turn the gun against himself than hand over something as profound and unique as Alexa. But the need for that drastic action hadn't arrived quite yet. The door opened, and Roman slipped inside and enabled security lockdown procedures. Rupak would be able to breach yet again. But Roman had a plan for that. Lieutenant Sherman pulverized a piece of gum between his molars. It had lost its flavor long ago, but it was the last piece he had. Chewing on it gave him a rhythmic steadiness he needed, given the circumstances. The Rupak rear guard, which Sherman now understood had been delaying them from reaching Camp Ohio, had been eliminated. There was no threat on the ground, and the defensive guns on top of the Rupak ship were incapable of firing straight down, so Sherman's team was safe where they were. The problem was they couldn't go anywhere. Those guns were keeping the Badgers pinned in the great ship's shadow. And though his men were capable, the hull was too smooth and too sheer to climb up there and disable them. Every report from Captain Bosa reinforced how much of a problem that was. The battle wasn't going well. Rupak controlled the camp's outer defense zone and was pushing inward against the consolidated defense. Their special forces had penetrated deep enough to have been spotted from the array station. And the Osei refugees were mostly cut off from the center of the camp, which to Sherman felt like a tremendous betrayal of trust. He had convinced them to leave their home in order to avoid precisely such a fate, and now that hell was their reality, and he and his men weren't even there to help. His Badgers needed to join the fight. He knew it, and so did the crew of the Rupak transport that had launched its ICVs and troops toward Camp Ohio.
"What's the plan, LT?" asked Sergeant Morales.
Sherman could only think of one option. "They don't want us to leave, so let's see how much they like it when we get in close. First platoon, dismount. The Badgers will attempt to enter the hangar bay to begin the assault. We'll move on foot afterward and secure the ship, allowing the Badgers to move to Camp Ohio." There was a silence before First Sergeant Soto chimed in. "Violence of action. Let's show these pendejos what happens when you run up against First Platoon." The men dismounted and the Badgers rolled forward slowly, staying in close to the outer hull of the ship. As the first Badger crept ahead to make the turn toward the hangar ramp, Sherman held his breath, expecting to hear the sound of the overhead guns or some other defensive force. But he heard nothing.
"I'm inside," reported the driver.
"Empty."
"Copy," said Sherman. He sent a second Badger in for support and instructed the rest to remain outside, ready to depart for Ohio or defend against any Rupak forces who might be pulled away from their assault to protect the ship. Then he sent his platoon in on foot, Sherman pulling up the rear with First Sergeant Soto bringing up the rear. The interior of the craft reminded Sherman of a C-17, only four times as wide and at least twice as tall. Chains still lay across the decking where the Rupak ICVs had been secured. Either Rupak didn't have loadmasters, or they were content to just clean up later. The Rangers moved along the jump seats that lined the walls, rifles shouldered and ready, as they approached the lone exit at the far end of the craft. Halfway there, the doors opened, and Rupak Marines stepped into the breach and began firing. The Badgers returned fire, sending a torrent of bullets that ate through the ranks, chests exploding in puffs of ragged fabric and blood. The defense of the ship was over almost as soon as it started, allowing the Rangers to stack up outside the now open door.
"Frag out!"
A Ranger tossed a grenade into the smoke-filled opening and pressed himself against the wall as it boomed. Then he stormed inside with his squad on his heels. Sherman placed himself back in the Badger to monitor his platoon's progress. First Sergeant Soto assisted a medic in pulling a wounded Ranger to the designated casualty collection point at the rear of the ship. Through the mounted cameras of his troops, Sherman saw them finish off the dying Rupak Marines at the entrance they'd just stormed. All that was on the other side of the door were two stairwells leading up. The Rangers stormed those stairs and went straight to the topmost deck. The stairwells opened onto two long corridors that ran the length of the ship on either side. Doors lined both corridors, and occasionally a crossing passage connected the two hallways.
"Clearing," Morales reported.
The Rangers reached the first door. It was locked. Morales motioned for a PFC to step up and give the door a kick. Then another. On the third kick, the door popped open.
"Rupak craftsmanship," one of the Rangers noted before calling, "Frag out!"
and tossing a grenade inside the room. As soon as it detonated, Morales shouted, "Go!" The Rangers rushed inside, clearing the corners of the empty room. There was a fixed ladder in the middle of the room leading up to a hatch. The hatch opened, and a pair of open hands revealed themselves.
"No shoot!" called a Rupak sailor. "No shoot!"
The Rangers shouted for the man to come down and kept their rifles trained on him as he climbed down the ladder and fell to his knees, hands on his head.
"English?" asked Morales.
The Rupak soldier shook his head.
No, not good speak."
Morales pointed up the ladder.
"What's up there?"
"Gun."
Morales sent a man up to verify.
"It's empty, Sergeant. Looks like one of the guns up top."
"Copy."
"Lieutenant Sherman."
"I'm following. Let's get the rest of those secure and then see about taking whatever passes for a command center on this bucket."
Sherman checked in on the command channel as the battle raged over at Camp Ohio.
"We're coming," he whispered. "Hang in there."